Broeder Kors.
Van harte welkom. De microfoon is aan u en heel veel zegen.
Dank u wel, broeder Kors.
Alsjeblieft.
U ook heel veel zegen bij het luisteren.
Dank u wel.
Ja, lieve luisteraars. Ik groet u allen in de wonderbare naam van onze Heer en Heiland, onze Heer Jezus Christus, de Koning der Koningen en de Heer der Heerscharen. Lieve Vader in de hemel, we danken u voor dit moment, mijn Heiland. We danken u voor vergeving, we danken u voor bevrijding en we danken u voor verlossing, voordat we in uw woord gaan, Vader. We danken u voor alles, Vader. Ja, luisteraars, het is tijd voor het Bijbelleesplan. En u weet, het Bijbelleesplan komt van Gospel Radio Zephania, waar onze Heer Jezus Christus centraal staat. Luisteraars, we gaan de Heer danken. We gaan de Heer loven en prijzen. We gaan de Heer alle eer geven wat hem toekomt. Want hij is waardig te ontvangen alle lof en alle eer. Trouwe God en Heiland, we danken u voor uw grote liefde en uw barmhartigheid. We danken u, Vader, voor deze uren van aanbidding, Vader. We danken u voor deze uren voor lofprijzing. Om u te danken, Vader, wie u bent, Vader. En wat u voor ons heeft gedaan en nog steeds doet. Trouwe God en Vader, we danken u voor broeder Cor en zuster Marlene. We danken u voor de bijstand van uw Heilige Geest. Vader, we prijzen uw naam daarvoor. We danken u, Vader, dat wij bij u mogen komen, Vader. Om u zegt, kom tot mij allen die vermoeid en belast zijn, en ik zal u rust geven. Vader, we danken u. We geven u de eer, de lof en de dank, omdat u waardig bent, Vader. U bent de Koning der Koningen en de Heer der Heerscharen, Vader. U bent de Roos van Sharon. U bent de wonderbare raadsman, de ware wijnstok. U bent de lelie der dalen en de blinkende morgenster. U bent onze toevlucht, Vader. Vader, u bent onze voorziener. U bent onze toevlucht, Vader. U bent onze zeer geliefde, Vader. En we danken u, Vader. Onze eeuwige Vader bent u, Vader. Vader, zo mogen wij bij u komen met alle bisstonden. Met alle gospelsradio's, Vader. Met alle kinderen. Met alle vluchtelingen, Vader. En ook met de mensen op het zendingsveld. Vader, we danken u dat u helpt, Vader. Al is de nood zo groot, Vader. U bent groter. U bent groter dan iedere nood, Vader. We kunnen altijd bij u komen, mijn Heiland. Vader, want u bent de helper. Groot van kracht en steeds bereid, Vader. U bent onze voorziener, Vader. U bent onze hulp ten dagen der benauwdheid, Vader. Vader, en u gaat met ons, Vader. Overal waar wij zijn, Vader. U helpt ons, Vader. En we danken u voor de Vader. Voor vrede en blijdschap. We danken u voor uw barmhartigheid, Vader. En uw genade. We danken u voor ieder die u nodig hebt, Vader. We danken u voor alle zieken in de ziekenhuizen, Vader. En ook alle gemeentes, alle voorgangers, Vader. Wilt u zegenen, Vader. We danken u voor alles, Vader. Vader, we brengen alles voor uw troon van genade. En we prijzen uw heilige naam. We danken u voor de glorie van uw naam, mijn God. Want u bent groot en zeer te prijzen. Ja, lieve luisteraar. U weet, luisteraar, dat we gaan lezen uit Genesis, hoofdstuk 28. Het gaat over Isaac en Jacob. Hoofdstuk 48. 28. Isaac en Jacob. Genesis, hoofdstuk 28. Luisteraars, maar we gaan even eerst naar onze ochtendtekst. Onze ochtendtekst zegt: ik zal u niet verlaten. Hoofdstuk 28, vers 15. Dank Heere Jezus voor uw heerlijke belofte. Hierdoor weet ik dat ik nooit alleen zal zijn al mijn levensdagen. Ook heden zijt gij met mij in mijn verdriet en moeilijkheden. Er zijn duizenden leeuwen op de weg, maar het zijn geketende leeuwen die mij niet kunnen schaden, zolang gij aan mijn zijde gaat. Hoeveel zonden en dagelijkse overtredingen ik ook had, toch heb gij mij niet verlaten. Dierbare heiland, houd mijn hand vast tot aan het eind van mijn leven en bewaar mij voor zonde, want u wil ik volgen en u alleen behagen. Genesis 28, vers 15 zegt: er zijn zoveel leeuwen op de weg, maar het zijn geketende leeuwen die ons niet zal kunnen schaden, zolang de Heere aan onze zijde staat. Ja, luisteraars, u hoort het. En dan gaan wij naar onze Bijbelleesplan. Onze Bijbelleesplan, nog een keer, komt uit Genesis hoofdstuk 28. Ja, luisteraars. En toen riep Jacob en zegende hem. Toen riep Isaac Jacob en zegende hem. En hij gebood hem en zeide tot hem: neem geen vrouw uit de dochters van Canaan. Maak u gereed, ga naar Padan Aram, naar het huis van Betuel, de vader van uw moeder, en neem u vandaar een vrouw uit de dochters van Laban, de broeder van uw moeder. En God de Almachtige zegene u. Hij maken u vruchtbaar en vermenigvuldigen u, zodat gij tot een menigte van volken wordt. Hij geven u de zegen van Abraham, u en uw nageslacht met u, zodat gij het land uw vreemdelingschap dat God aan Abraham gegeven heeft in bezit krijgt. Zo zond Isaac Jacob weg en deze ging naar Padan Aram, naar Laban, de zoon van Betuel, de Arameer, de broeder van Rebecca, de moeder van Jacob en Esau. Toen Esau zag dat Isaac Jacob gezegend had en hem met een zegen had weggezonden naar Padan Aram, om zich vandaar een vrouw te nemen en dat hij hem geboden had: neem geen vrouw uit de dochters van Canaan. En dat Jacob naar zijn vader en zijn moeder geluisterd had en naar Padan Aram gegaan was. Toen Esau nu zag dat de dochters van Canaan zijn vader Isaac zeer mishaagden, ging hij naar Ismaël en nam zich bij zijn vrouw Machalat, de dochter van Ismaël, de zoon van Abraham, de zuster van Nebajot, tot vrouw. Vers 10. Jacob drong te Betel. Jacob drong te Betel. Jacob vertrok uit Beersheba en ging naar Haran. En hij bereikte een plaats waar hij bleef overnachten, omdat de zon ondergegaan was. En hij nam een van de stenen der plaats, legde die onder zijn hoofd en ging op die plaats slapen. Toen droomde hij en zie, op de aarde was een ladder opgericht, waarvan de top tot aan de hemel reikte. En zie, engelen Gods klommen daar langs op en daalden daar langs neder. En zie, de Heere stond bovenaan en zeide, ik ben de Heere, de God van uw vader Abraham en de God van Isaac. En het land waarop gij ligt, zal ik aan u en aan uw nageslacht geven. En uw nageslacht zal zijn als het stof der aarde. En gij zult u uitbreiden naar het westen, oosten, noorden en zuiden. En met u en met uw nageslacht zullen alle geslachten des aardbodems gezegend worden. En zie, ik ben met u. En ik zal u behoeden overal waar gij gaat. En ik zal u wederbrengen naar dit land. Want ik zal u niet verlaten totdat ik gedaan heb wat ik u heb toegezegd. Toen Jacob uit zijn slaap ontwaakte, zeide hij, waarlijk, de Heere is aan deze plaats. En ik heb het niet geweten. En hij vreesde en zeide, hoe onzagwekkend is deze plaats. Dat is niet anders dan een huis Gods. Dit is de poort des hemels. De volgende morgen vroeg nam Jacob de steen die hij onder zijn hoofd gelegd had. Stelde die tot een opgerekte steen en gooi er olie op bovenop. En hij noemde de plaats Betel. Maar tevoren was de naam der stad Luz. En Jacob deed een gelofte. Indien God met mij zal zijn en mij behoeden zal op deze weg die ik ga, mij zal geven brood om te eten en klederen om aan te trekken. En ik behouden tot mijn vaders huis wederkeer, dan zal de Heere mij tot een God zijn. En deze steen, die ik tot een opgerichte steen gesteld heb, zal een huis Gods wezen en van alles wat gij mij schenken zult, zal ik u stip de tiende geven. Ja, luisteraars, dat was de geschiedenis van Isaac en Jacob. En het staat hier, en zie, en Jezus zei, en zie, ik ben met, en God zei, en zie, ik ben met u, en ik zal u behoeden overal waar gij gaat. En ik zal u wederbrengen naar dit land, want ik zal u niet verlaten, totdat ik gedaan heb wat ik u heb toegezegd. En toen Jacob wakker werd, zeide hij, waarlijk, de Heere is aan deze plaats en ik heb het niet geweten. Luisteraars, als wij ergens zijn, of we ergens gegaan zijn, dan moeten wij aan deze woorden denken, dat de Heere ons nooit zal begeven en nooit zal verlaten. Want hij zegt het in zijn woord en hij houdt zijn woord bestand. God zijn woord is de waarheid. Hij zegt, ik ben met u, luisteraars, hij is met u, overal waar u gaat. En hij zal ons allen behoeden. Maar we moeten geloven. En als wij dit gaan geloven, dan zeggen wij, waarlijk, de Heere is aan deze plaats, als wij zijn wonder hebben gezien. En zeggen wij nogmaals, waarlijk, de Heere is aan deze plaats en wij hebben het niet geweten. Luisteraars, laten wij altijd dit woord gebruiken. Wat de Heere gebruikt heeft, ik zal u niet begeven en ik zal u niet verlaten. Ik groet u allen, wens u Gods rijkste zegen toe, dat u hebt meegelezen en geluisterd. En ik zou zeggen, de Heere zegen u rijkelijk zo met broeder Cor en zuster Marlene. En voor u allen is de Heere aan uw zijde. En laten wij niet zeggen, wij hebben het niet geweten, want wij zullen het merken. Ik groet u allen in Jezus naam. Amen.
Amen, zuster, maar dank u wel ook vannacht voor de bijdrage die u geleverd heeft aan de uitzending van Stefania Radio. Zo de Heer het leidt, hoor ik u morgen weer.
Jawel, broeder Cor.
Bedankt, goedenacht, rust toegewenst.
Ja, broeder Cor, dank u wel.
Tot horens. Dag,
ja, broeder Cor, en de groetjes daar.
Zal ik doen.
Ja, dag, broeder Cor.
Dag, zuster. Zoals u gevraagd heeft, herhaling van het woord door Pastor Samuel Lee van GCF Ministry in Amsterdam. Even zegen bij het luisteren.
You see, life is not always beautiful. Life is not always happy. Many times we go through hardship in life. And the sad news and the bad news in that is that even good people suffer. You see, it's not that because somebody is good, he or she will not suffer. Suffering is a part of a human experience. And every human being in this world can suffer. Even if you are the most holiest, most beautiful, most cleanest person in the world, you may suffer. And that is my message today, is about suffering and how God can use the suffering and turn it into a blessing. And my message today is about a great man in the Bible. His name is Job. A great man in the Bible, his name is Job. How many of you know the story of Job? Job has an amazing story. A story full of sorrow and sadness that ends into a blessing. And I'm not going to read the entire book for you, but I'm going to explain some part of it, and then I'm going to share my message with you. Just let us open the book of Job chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 1. This is what it says. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless. Somebody say blameless. This man was blameless and upright. He was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep. In our term today, he was a millionaire. 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. I think you can call him the Bill Gates of that time. All right? The only difference was his business was sheep and cattle and not computers. And in that time, that was a great thing, to be a multimillionaire and fear God. People of God, it's not easy to be a multimillionaire and fear God. Most multimillionaires don't fear God. It's not easy to be a rich man and serve God, because it's not easy, you know, wealth and money go together. But it is possible. And Job proved with his life that it is possible. Let's go further a little bit, and we go to verse 6. Because something is happening in verse 6. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with him. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you seen my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." And then Satan says in verse 9, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied, "Have you not put hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed him, the work of his hand, that his flock and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, then everything he has is in your hand. But on that man himself, do not lay your finger." Then Satan went out from presence of the Lord. One day when Job and his sons and daughters were feasting, you know, he attacked him. And then he lost, firstly, his family. Okay? And then after his family was hit, except his wife, then again, Satan challenged God and said, "You see, this man, you hit once more again his body, then he will, you know, turn back and curse you." So God said, "I trust this Job. Whatever you do, he's not going to do it." So Satan afflicted him from his feet down until the top of his head. He was wounded with sickness and disease. So you know all the story. And then he was again afflicted by this Satan. But never again he cursed God. Never again he came against God. Let us learn what happens after that. Job's friends came to him and they went and encouraged him. So this is the whole story, because the book of Job is very long. So I'm not going to read the entire book for you. But the whole story is that after Job was afflicted, after Job was hit by all disease, he lost everything. He's sitting on the ground. That imagine that in your eyes. You picture it in your eyes. He's sitting on the ground, throwing ashes on his head and scratching his wounded body with the sand and stones because he is sick. And in the middle of that, still he's being challenged. Life is not easy sometimes. Life is not easy. Even good people can suffer. First challenge of Satan to Job was, Job lost all his servants, and Job lost all his sons, and Job lost all his daughters. But the Bible says in chapter 1 verse 20, if you open chapter 1 verse 20, he says, despite all these things, Job never stopped worshiping God. Hello. Job never stopped worshiping God. It doesn't matter how many affliction came on him. He lost his children. He lost his sons and daughters. Nevertheless, the Bible says he never stopped worshiping God. He went on his knees and praised God and prayed to God. Can you imagine the pain this man goes through in his heart? The second challenge, as I mentioned to you, is that Job was afflicted with a serious disease, a skin disease, from his feet down to his head. He was so afflicted. He was so, you know, have you ever seen skin disease? My father is a skin medical doctor. I've seen a lot of skin disease pictures. It's disgusting, the skin sicknesses. And this man, he got this sickness, and you know, he has nothing to do, only scratching himself. The whole body was sick. And then listen what his wife said. His wife challenged Job. His wife said to Job, Job, lose your integrity. Why do you still worship this God? Why don't you curse God and die? Look at this. Look at this. Those who are new in this church, they teach you how to preach. Hello. In this church, they teach you how to preach. I never forget between my preaching. I never forget I invited a person here and he preached very quiet and soft. And this man started preaching. He said, I have 10 points to share with you today about this and that. I think there was a mother in this church. He said, oh my God, have mercy. And then when he came to his last point, that was point number 10, he said, finally, my last point is, another mother said, thank you, Jesus. But the mother's thank you, Jesus, was too early, because that man had the last point, and in that point, there are already 3 points. So he said, my last point, finally, one mama said, thank you, Jesus. He said, but my last point has 3 more points. And another brother said, God have mercy. So in this church, they teach you how to preach. Praise the Lord. Give yourself a glam offering. Hallelujah. Our message is a heavy message. Sometimes to put a joke in between is good. Praise God. So you see, his wife said to Job, Job, why don't you just curse? That's why, you know, partners are important in life. Hello? The one that you choose to live until the end of your life is a very important choice. Because, you see, women, you are amazing. You are amazing people. Let me tell you something. My uncle is here in the Netherlands, and that uncle is the uncle who made me who I am today. Of course, after God and my parents. He's the person, I preach about him many times in my sermons. He will come to church. He wants to see you. He's an elderly man. You know, he has a lot of wisdom in him. He said to me, son, listen, he was telling me this yesterday. He said, women are amazing people. I said, how come, uncle? He said, because a woman can turn a beggar into a king and a king into a beggar. You women are amazing people. So when you are an amazing people, make, support your partner and husband. Make him to be a king. Hallelujah. And husband's the same. It's the husband who makes the woman a queen or a beggar. But in case of Job, he was not lucky. Because his wife is saying, die and curse God and die. So she wants her husband to die. You see, a real marriage, you know it when you go through hardship. When everything is shaking. When everything is falling apart, when the money, dollar is not coming, when the rings are not coming, when the gifts are not coming, when you cannot pay your rent, when you cannot pay your house, when you cannot pay all your incassos, in the middle of that, marriage is so important. Because good husbands don't run, and good wives don't run. Runners don't rule, and rulers don't run. Are we listening today? Three gentlemen here. Are you listening? Okay. Listen well, huh? Praise God. He said, curse God and die. Why don't you die? Look at you. You are so miserable. Look at you. Die today. But listen, in the middle of that, Job did not choose to curse God. You see, many people today, they lose their integrity when they go through hardship. Many people today, they lose their integrity when they go through hardship and challenges. Even a small hardship make them lose. Hello? They are offended so fast. Are we listening today? They are challenged so easily. They lose their integrity so easily. Why? Because they are challenged. Because they go through hardship. Listen, hardship can do two things to you. Either he will make you better or bitter. The choice is yours. If a hardship comes to your life, it can make you better or bitter. And many times the people in this world today, they become bitter in place of better. Are we listening today? Man, this great man, this great prophet, this great worshiper of God, lost everything. His wife says, curse God and die. He's scratching himself. Blood is coming out of all his entire body. Wounds, smell, dirty. He did not refuse. He refused to curse God. He refused. Many people, when the problem comes, the first thing they do, they blame God. Are we listening? Listen, my friends, I don't want to disappoint you. Sometimes in life, don't blame God for everything. Don't come and say, why God did this to me? Why God did that to me? You see, maybe God is angry. Maybe God is this. You know, listen, if you have an angry image of God, it means you have not understood God. Hello? Are we listening? Some of you have a wrong image of God. Everything that you do, you are afraid. You think God is going to be angry. God is going to punish you. God, hello. Change your mindset about God. God is love. God is compassionate. God is merciful. Are we listening today? God is a good father. He may discipline you, but he will never be angry to you forever. Hello. Many people, as soon as a problem comes, it's God. God don't like me. I am not favorite to God. You see, God loves this sister more than me. Hello. God does not love anybody more than anybody. God's love is eternal. And God's love is unmeasurable. So you cannot measure the love of God for this and that. God loved the world so much that he gave his beloved son. For those who believe, they shall not perish but have eternal life. Hello. You see, this man, he refused to curse God because he was a man of integrity. He didn't run away from his problems. Are we listening today? But many times, some people came to me and said, Pastor, I will change my religion. I said, why? He said, I pray for 1 month. God did not answer me, so I'll change my religion. I'll become Muslim or I'll become Buddhist. I said, be my guest. Anything you want. Listen, God, can I talk to you? God is not a supermarket. You see, we think that God is a supermarket. And when we pray, our prayer is only, God, give me, give me, give me. That's not a prayer. God is not a supermarket. God is not Neckerman. God is not Wehkamp. God is not Albert Heijn. That you only go and pray to God and say, God, give me this. God, give me that. God, I need this. Hello. That is not how God is. Hello. God is also not an agent. God is God. And God also does not need any in-between man to settle your things. So don't think that because you handshake me more than 5 minutes, I can fix things with you in heaven. It's not possible. I have my own things to fix with God. I have my own problems that I need to fix with God. So don't come and handshake me. One time I was in one conference. One African brother came to me. He's shaking my hand. Oh, he's not losing. Not losing my hand. I say, my friend, my hand is breaking. Can you lose my hand? He said, No, I'm tapping the anointing. How do you tap the anointing? Anointing is not a water that you tap it. Hello. Tapping the anointing, I'm tapping. What do you tap? Are you stealing my tapping? Without my permission? Hey. God doesn't need an in-between man to arrange something. Jesus died so that there is no in-between man anymore. There is no priest between you and God. There is no pastor between you and God. The only person between you and God is that cross of Jesus, that Jesus, the Son of God, who died on the cross. Don't waste your time with all these pastors and preachers, priests, even myself. Are you listening to me? There is no in-between man. Direct contact with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God doesn't need an agent, and God does not have an Atsem Bureau. God does not have, hello, direct contact with God. And how do you contact directly with God? Go on your knees and pray. Talk to God. You don't need to tap anointing without permission. Hello. You see, this man, he did not blame God. He didn't say God is, you see, there are two types of Christians in this world. One type of Christian, they are always blaming the devil. It's the devil who did it. The devil who did it. In this case, it's the devil. But even the man does not blame the devil. This Job, did you see him blaming the devil in the book? He didn't. He don't care. He just say, okay, this happened. I praise God. Yeah. There are two types of Christian. One Christian always blaming the devil. Behind every tree, they see a devil. Behind every shadow, they see a devil. Behind every pulpit, they see a devil. Sometimes it's true. My language today. Today I'm hot. You understand? Sometimes devils hide behind pulpits. Okay, thank you, sir. But those kind of Christians, they blame everything. There was one Christian, even here in Amsterdam, Sados. The pastor was preaching that you must not have any furniture in your house. Yeah, a furniture. Pastor James was telling me that. He's not with us. He was telling me there was a pastor here in Amsterdam, or I don't know, Holland. That pastor was saying furnitures are not allowed. Why? Because furnitures have all these, how do you call that? Cabinets that in the night the devil may be inside. So you need to throw them out. So they throw them in the street. They might not know that maybe somebody will come and gather them and ship them somewhere. Don't let me open my mouth today. It's an easy business. Throw in the street, midnight, some kabo come, we gather them, ship them. Who knows? Who knows? It's happening, you know. Even in this church, I may not mention a name. Somebody, when he was a very young man, his heart was devoted to God. One pastor, he liked his jacket. He said, this jacket is from Europe. I like this jacket. And that he talked to that person so smooth that this person took his jacket and gave it to him to donate it to somewhere. I don't know. Like a donation. And then 2 weeks later, he see that pastor dressing the jacket himself. Hello. So sometimes, don't trust everyone who stands behind the pulpit. Hello? So there are some people who are always devil-minded. Everything is the devil. And there are some people who are always blaming God. They blame God. God is angry. They have stomach pain, they blame God. God is angry. They have back pain, they blame God because God is, hello. God is not like that. God is love. Hello. Now let's go further. I feel like preaching today. You see, now what happened is that this man refused. Instead, somehow he was angry to himself. He even cursed the day he was born, but he never cursed God. He never said, God, I curse you. Never, never, never. You may not believe me, but I have seen people with my eyes and ears who really curse God. Simply why? Because the girl that he loved him no more. Just for a girl. I'm sorry, I love you girls. I have high respect for you. But just for a girl, cursing God. Why? Because the girl don't like him. Man, that's terrible. Now, listen to this. Now, in chapter 4, you read that Job's friends come to encourage Job. If you read chapter 4, you will see that Job's friend come to encourage him. You see, when you go through a problem in life, your friends come around you to encourage you, to talk to you. But they didn't know that, if you read it in chapter 4, they didn't know that their encouragement turned back and become a discouragement. So what did their friends do? Their friend, his friend, went to him and teach him what he has been always teaching them. You remember you said this and that and that. Now is your turn to believe in this and that. You have been saying you believe in God. Now is the time for you to do this and that and that and that. So they teach back to Job what Job has been teaching it to them. And at the same time, they accused Job that he has sinned. They said, Job, you see, in the middle of all these things, maybe you have sinned. That is why God has afflicted you. So, in other words, so-called friends went to encourage Job, but actually they mess him up and they really discourage him. People of God, I have an advice for you. When you see your friend is going through hardship and difficulty, there are times you don't need to talk. Just be with your friend. Keep the mouth. You said it, I did it. You see, you don't need to go preach to that person. When a person is going through hardship and difficulty and suffering and pain, he or she has lost many things, he or she is sick, the only thing you need to do is your presence. You don't need to go preach to that person. If I go through hardship, don't come and preach to me what I've been preaching to you. Just talk to me, encourage me, pray for me. You don't need to come and say, you have seen that. There is a hidden sin. That's why we Christians are very good in judgment. Can I open my mouth? A person get disease. Oh, the devil, you know, he sinned, that is why. Of course, sometimes sin leads you to sickness and disease, like Pastor preached last week. But not everything. Not everything, my friend. Did you hear that person got a car accident? Maybe there was a hidden sin in his life. So my question is, in your life, is there no hidden sin? I bet with you, in all of you, including myself, there are many hidden things. Oh, so you don't need to come and unhidden somebody's sin and tell him that, yeah, you have sinned, that's why, you know, but we pray for you. No, when your friend goes through difficulty in life, you don't need to preach to that friend. You only need to be there for that friend. You only need to listen to that friend. Keep zip the lip and open your ears and listen to a person who is suffering. But you don't need to come and preach to that person. Can I tell you something, my friends, my brothers and sisters? A real, genuine believer of Jesus Christ never judges other people. Never. If you say you are a believer, if you say you follow Jesus Christ, this finger, put it down, please. And stop judging other people. Because even Jesus himself did not judge people. The only people Jesus judged was those people behind the pulpits that were hiding their sins behind their robes and behind their pulpits. They were the only ones that he judged. If you are a genuine Christian, please do not judge other people, because you never know why the person become the person he is or she is, because you don't know her life story. You don't know the wounds he or she has gone through in life. You don't know the pains and humiliations he have been going through in his life. And here you come with one sentence, you wipe away the life of that person and judge that person. Why? Don't judge, or else you will be judged. Are we listening today? Don't judge people. Your words have power. Your words have power to influence the future of somebody just by what we judge. Can I tell you a story? Once again, about my uncle. He was a school teacher, ordinary school teacher. You know, in our countries, in my time, when you are a school teacher, and then normally the school teachers discriminate. If you are the son of a rich man or a daughter of a rich man, they care very well for you. But if you are poor, nobody give anything to you. Understand me? Please listen carefully to what I'm saying. And in the school of my uncle, there is this principal that always give attention to this rich man's son. But there is a man whose son is a construction worker, but a very low paid construction worker. Very low. Nobody attention this child. No one. But the rich man's son get attention, get even gifts, everything, because he's a rich man's son. What my uncle did, he always bought ice cream for this young child. And he never forget that ice cream. 40, 50 years passed. That child is a very rich businessman in a country, in another country. He called his father and said, go and find that teacher that when I was 8 years old, when no one looked at me, when no one received me, he bought an ice cream for me. I need that man in my office. This is the power of good deeds. This is the power of how you treat people. Don't treat people because of the way they dress. Don't treat people because they look good and they look nice. Don't judge people because they look nice or they don't look nice. Don't judge people. But we Christians, as soon as our friends go through hardship and difficulty, we come and preach to them. You know, Pastor, don't you remember what Pastor said? He, at that time, that man will hate me. Please don't use my name. Do you remember what Pastor said? No, that man is suffering now. He doesn't need Pastor. He needs a wife or a husband to encourage that person. And sometimes you need to keep the mouth shut. Just listen, just to be there. Do you know that Oprah Winfrey became a millionaire only by listening? Psychologists do nothing, only listen. You go to his office, he lay down. So tell me, my friend. Then you start telling your story. Oh, 1 hour is finished. You give your money, go. That's it. Oh, thank you. You have helped me. He didn't do nothing. He only listened to you. Listen to people. Don't judge people. Don't be religious for crying out loud. God doesn't like religion. And God doesn't like religious people. But these friends of him, what did they do? They become religious. According to John chapter 3 verse 5, he said that, you know, the devil will fall on my left, the devil will fall on my right. John chapter 3 verse 5, Matthew chapter 6 verse 3, Genesis chapter 1 verse 5. You know, my friend, you do like this, like this, like this. You are not promoting Christianity. You are destroying its name. At that time, just listen. A wise man knows when to talk and when to keep silent. Hallelujah. Are we listening today? Listen. His friends discourage him. His friends accuse him. You are a sinner. You have a hidden sin. Look at you. The man was totally destroyed. The man was broken. Nothing is heavier than when friends break in your heart. At that time, what did Job say? In chapter 13 from verse 1 to 3, he said, no one can help me. No one can help me. The only person that can help me in this world is God. I need God and God alone. I don't need your preaching. I don't need your compassion. I don't need so-called your hugs. What I need is God and God alone. I need him in my life. My trust is in God. My faith is in God. Only He can understand me. Only He knows what I am going through in life. And I turn my face to God. And this should be our attitude. When a problem comes to your life, don't run away from God. Go closer to God. Most of the time we run away from Him, but get closer to God. That is your attitude. And you see, from chapter 38 to 41, God answers Job. And in other words, God said, aha, now you are turning to me. Now you are crying out to me. Now you say, I need you, because every door is closed. My body is suffering. My family are lost. The only thing I need is your help and compassion. He prayed to God. I don't know about you, but I believe in that invisible hand, that God will make a way when there seems to be no way. That invisible hand is always there. And Job got a revelation. And when Job got the revelation in chapter 42, he says, my ears have heard you, O God, but now my eyes have seen you. My eyes have seen the glory of God. Because God talked to him. Amen. And then in chapter 42, God blessed him. When you read chapter 42, God blessed him, and Job received, I believe, double back what he had lost before. The ways of the Lord, thou shalt not understand. The only thing thou can do is to trust in Him, to have faith in Him. I just want to finish with my conclusions. My brothers and sisters, when you go through hardship in life, when you go through sorrow, hearken unto the Lord. Hearken unto the Lord. And do not lose your integrity. Still keep worshiping God. Do not run away from God. Do not run away from church. Worship God. A righteous man, a person of integrity, may go through nightmares. You may go through shame. You may go through sorrow. But at the end, you will rise more stronger, more successful, more blessed than ever before. No matter how many times a righteous man falls, says the book of prophets, Proverbs, he or she shall rise again. And let me tell you something. I have good news for you today. The accuser, whose name is accuser? Satan. The accuser, this is my revelation, I finish. The accuser can never accuse you anymore. That is the time of Job. Because we live now in the time of Jesus. And Satan can never accuse you anymore. Because the Son of God died on the cross and paid the price for you and me, so that the accuser will accuse no more. But the sad news is, it's not the devil who accuses, but sometimes are the fellow brothers and sisters who accuse. And that's my message today. Accuse not when you see someone is suffering. Mind your own life. And remember, no matter how many times you fall, a righteous man shall rise. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, God will change your life upside down.
Somehow. And it was said, spoken word. Pastor Samuel Lee. In that little copy for Sook. The tide in her singing. Fear me not, for him. I wanna jump and in het is tijd om afscheid van u te nemen. Natuurlijk wil ik Stefania Radio iedereen bedanken voor het luisteren. En ook bedankt voor uw reactie. Zo deur het leidt vannacht met een andere aflevering. Bedankt voor het luisteren. Goedenacht, Rusin. Tot horens.